Open up to Revelation chapter number 2. All right, and we're just continuing with this study on being a church that glorifies God. We want to glorify God in everything we do. The Bible says there in Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We want Him to get glory in His church. It's His church. Therefore, we want to follow Him. We want to do things His way. So we're looking at a church that keeps the first things first, that keeps our first love for Christ. We want to keep Christ number one, keep Him as the focus of our church. And that's why we're looking at this letter here in Revelation chapter 2 to the church of Ephesus. And it says, "They're under the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Man, there's some good things about this church. We'd say, man, I want to be like that church. Nevertheless, verse 4 says, "I have somewhat against thee." So they had a lot going for them, but they had a problem. "Because thou hast left thy first love." I believe it was their love for God had began to wane, began to diminish. "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to help us, to teach us, God. Let us learn from the example of this church here and some of the mistakes that they made, Lord, and help us to limit those mistakes in our own lives and in this assembly, Lord God. Help us to do everything that's pleasing to you and, Lord, repent of the things that are not. I pray you'd help us as individuals to have a first love for you, and as a church, God, that we would have a first love for you so we can be a church that glorifies you, so we wouldn't be in danger of losing our candlestick or our authority as a church. And God, we need your help. I need you to help me as I preach and teach your word. And God, those that listen, we pray that you'd fill all of us with your Spirit so that we can receive your word properly. And God, it would make a difference in our lives. And Lord, help, as the song said and voices were lifted to you, Lord, that you would mean everything to us. Bless this time as your word is preached, Lord, and help us to apply it to our lives personally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we looked last week really at verse 1 and just how Jesus is in the midst of us. He's right there. He's with us. He knows what's going on. Verse 2 says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." There were some good things this church had going on, but they had a big problem. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And he said, so you need to repent. So let me just say for us, even though that this church or we have maybe left our first love, what they did is they continued serving God, and Christ knew it. So even if we're not 100% right with God, it is no excuse to not serve Him. Because I promise you, everyone here, there's not one of us here probably. There might be a couple, but I doubt there's one of us here that's 100% right with God. So just because of that means it's no excuse for us to stop serving Him. They didn't. They weren't 100% right, but they continued serving Him. God said, "I know your labor. I know your works. You keep it up. You've done some great things. You've stood for the truth. Keep standing." So even if we're not 100% right, God expects us to still stand, to still serve Him. Matthew Henry said this, "Those that are stars in Christ's hand had need to be always in motion, dispensing light to all about them." Because you might not have it all right, but just, hey, talking to the stars, I get it's the pastors, but look, we're the candlestick is the church. We need to be about just spreading light. Everywhere we go, always in motion, always putting light out. We need to stay busy in the Lord's work. Just because something may be amiss in our assembly doesn't mean we don't continue in what we know to be right. If we know it's right, we need to continue to do it. It's like Brother Francisco said, as he got up here, he said, hey, if we're going to continue in God's word, we need to be soul winners. We need to be soul winners. What, that's being light, spreading it all about. Amen. As you go to work, as you bump into somebody at the grocery store, talk to them. Use that as an excuse to share the gospel with them. Throw things out that'll open a conversation. It might not. You might try it 100 times and it only works 5. That's okay. But I'll try and just start conversations with people and kind of see where it's going to go. Sometimes it's just like, hey, have a good day, and we go on our way. Other times we get to talk a little more, and I'm going to try and bring in that I'm a pastor or something or whatever, that I go to this church. Hey, did you get one of these? Look, can I give you one? Tell you about our church or something. Or I'll bring up God. I'll praise the Lord somehow and just see what they say. And I'm just throwing feelers out. I just want to try and get a conversation started where I can share the gospel with them. Look for those opportunities. They're there. That's what we're just going about everywhere, putting light. Sprinkling a little salt here, a little salt over there. That's what we want to do. That's what we need to do. Stay busy, even if we may not have everything right. Jesus commended this church for their continued labor and love of truth, even though there was a huge problem there. He said, this is good. What you're doing is good. He says, you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. He says, you're doing good. God commended them for what they were doing. They were laboring and loving the truth. Labor means this, the definition is exertion of muscular strength or bodily exertion which occasions weariness, toilsome work, pains, travail, any bodily exertion which is attended with fatigue, labor. And that's what he said they were doing. I know thy works and thy labor. You guys are working. You're expending energy. You're doing that which makes you tired, which fatigues you. The Bible says it is work to such a degree that it's likened to giving birth. Ladies, is that easy? Are you spent and done for after you've given birth? Or are you ready to go run a marathon? No, I know in my wife's case, at least when I saw her, after that baby came out, she was just like, I mean, just that was it. Done. Genesis 35:17 says this, and it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And I'm just pointing that out to say this is what God wants of us. This is how God wants his churches to serve. This is what he was commending the church in Ephesus for. He says, you're doing some good things. I want you to keep this up. So this should tell us these are some good things. God wants us to keep it up. I mean, God wants us to be fatigued at times. He wants us to be tired serving him, laboring for him, doing his work. And his work, I'm telling you, is going to be revolve around his church so that he gets glory in the church throughout all ages. We have all got our families and our jobs and all that stuff, and that's necessary. And some of that's going to overlap. Obviously, our family's going to overlap with church and whatnot. But one doesn't excuse the other. Well, I'm going to focus all my attention over here. You can't neglect this, though. I'm going to give all my attention to my family and neglect church. I'm going to give all my family my attention to job and neglect church. You can't do that. That's not the labor that God commended. It's not. He tells us what he commended. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. He says, you can't stand those that are evil. Those, and what is it? He's talking about doctrine. Those that stand for false doctrine. And thou hast tried them, you've tested them, you've seen if they are what they say they are. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You tested them, you proved them, you tried them. It revolved around doctrine. They said they were something that they weren't. You tested them by the word of God and found that they weren't. That's the labor, that's the work God's commending right here. Now, obviously, that's not all of it, but that was a big part of it right there. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. There it is, labor again. Work, hast borne. That means to carry the weight of. Like they've borne their cross. Like we're all commanded to do. Jesus said if we don't bear that cross, we're not his disciple. He's commending them. You guys are doing a great job in this area. Keep it up. This is a good thing. Keep doing it. They continued to endure persecutions as well. It says right there, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Thy patience to suffer under the persecution that had come there. We just read about some of what had happened in Ephesus when they dragged them into the temple there, or the theater. And Paul was going to go in. They stopped him from going in. They said, no, they'll tear you to pieces, Paul. You're not going in there. They're facing persecution. By the way, these seven churches of Asia Minor, as we looked at Pergamos and where Satan's seat is, they're all very close to each other. As you study it out on the map, they're very close to each other. So this persecution's happening. And he says, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. You're enduring this persecution. Paul told Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, for a time, pastored the church of Ephesus. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That was what he recommended to Timothy. And amen, it's the same thing we need to do. God commended this church for it, for their labor, for them continuing in it, for them not quitting, for them not being weary and well-doing. They boldly withstood those that pretended to be what they weren't and taught false doctrine. This is so very dangerous because it means that these men came in. They were at first accepted by them, befriended by them, and then like a subtle serpent, they began to sow their discord, to sow their false doctrine. That's what it means right there. Look at it again. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. So they said they're apostles. They said, well, come on in, brethren. They allowed them in. They became friends with them. They got close to them. Their families knew each other. Which say they are apostles and are not. You tried them and has found them liars. They were liars. Well, how do you find them liars unless you allow them to teach you? And then you say, wait a minute. You just a little bit of time, you hear something, you're like, wait, whoa. That's not right. Paul said this. The Bible says this. The Old Testament says this. Some of Paul's letters say this. Hold on. There's a discrepancy here. And they measured them against the Word of God. God commended that. Today that's attacked. You're called a legalist today if you do that. So we're going to follow the traditions of men or the commendation of God? If we want to be a church that glorifies God, a church that follows after our first love, then we're going to do these things. We're going to do what God commends. Churches are in this type of trouble today because they are not like the church of Ephesus. They allow false teachers, and even more prevalent, they allow false doctrine to permeate their ranks. It's allowed. I've been in it long enough. I see it. I know what preachers allow. They don't say anything about this or about that or about that. And it always makes me ask the question, do they really love the sheep? And I keep coming back to the same thing. No, they're hirelings. How can they? And I've had this discussion before, and I think, well, what type of love do they have? Because I know some of these men, and I know that they do love the people, and I liken it to this, just like two lost people can love each other, or two lost family members can love that family member, and they'll help them, they'll be there for them, they can hurt for them, but they don't love them the way that a shepherd is supposed to love the sheep. How can they? When they will allow a wolf to come in. When they will allow leaven to come in and stay there. Look, it can get into any church. What's incumbent on us is as we see it, we'd be like the church of Ephesus and try them which say they're apostles and are not, and has found them liars. You're a liar. You're not what you say you are. And we'd cast it out. That is true love, by the way. That's true love. It is true love that you don't let your children run out on Coors Boulevard right here where cars go 70, 80 miles an hour. That's true love. You're not a legalist because you tell them, no, you can't play on the street. We don't let that happen. We don't even let you get close to the street. We don't even let the two-year-olds get close to over here. If we realize that we're running after them, yelling, get over here, whoa, 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 stop, stop, come here. We would never let them even get close to over here because we know in an instant like that they can be out on that street and they don't know that that car will plow them over and take their life. They have no clue about that. But you're not a legalist because you won't let them play near the highway, which is basically what this is. No one would think that. But I'm telling you, if in Christianity, if you start warning about error that's perpetuated by some Christian, okay, or some church, you're a legalist and you're mean and hateful. I'm just telling you, this is what it is. This is where we're living right now. God commended them, though, for saying, no, you're a false apostle. That's false doctrine. We're not going to tolerate that. You're out of here. God commended them for it. So we either have to want the commendation of God or the commendation of men. You decide which one you want. That can be family too, by the way. When you're afraid to take a stand for what you believe, what the Bible says, and you won't stand against family, that can be the exact same thing. There's no difference in that. Now, obviously, you love your family. You're not going to cast them out and away forever, but you don't let them influence your thinking and the decisions that you make. We can't do that. God didn't command that. God didn't command that. We have to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. We have to be willing to forsake even our husband or wife, which we're one flesh with them, one flesh. That if they're not going to follow God, I am, I will. That's what God commands. I'm just telling you right now. Look, as you study the laws of, as some have told me, of what it means to be a Pharisee, you were required to be married to be a Pharisee. Okay, Paul says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. That means he was married. But we don't ever mention, hear his wife mentioned in Scripture. And he tells others, he says, I would that thou art even as I am, what remains single. He says, if you can, he says, most people aren't able to do it, and most people can't do it. So if you're going to burn in your lust one toward another, marry. So that you don't go and commit fornication, just get married. But if you can, stay it like I am, be single. It's because then you don't have to worry about a wife, you don't have to worry about kids, you can dedicate everything to God. Everything to God. And that's what Paul said was best. But that means for him to be a Pharisee, he had to have been married. Where's his wife? Where's his wife? Now, this is just my opinion. You can throw it in the garbage if you want. I believe she left him because he became a Christian. See, Paul said, you know what? I'm going to seek your kingdom first. And I'm going to hate my wife if that's what need be, because I love you more, God. We've got to be willing to do that. See, it's real. When you're there with your family at that family event, they're tugging at you. Come on. Why are you so serious about God? Why are you going back to church? We had them do the same thing to us. I dealt with the same thing. I mean, I'd give my family the pep talk before we even got there. I'm serious, I would. I'd be like, we're not missing church. We are leaving. When I say get up, it's time to go. And I'd tell us 30 minutes before we actually needed to leave, because I know how our families are. It's like a 30-minute goodbye process. But I'm telling you, that's what we had to do. And I'm like, we are leaving. And when we first started doing that, everyone's like, where are you going? Jaws are dropping. I was like, going back to church? But yeah. You say, Pastor, you make a big deal about that. I don't think it's as big a deal as you make about it. If that's your attitude, let me just say that you don't discern the Lord's body. Amen. You don't discern the Lord's body. If it's that flippant to you that this isn't important to assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ, as it says we're one in Christ. One in Christ. Amen. It ought to be that important to you. Christ died for the church. Because of false doctrine, we think that just means that he died for this invisible blob out there, everyone that's saved. It does not mean that. It means he died for his bride, this church.
Amen.
Now, praise God, a bunch of people can get in on that by coming to faith in Jesus Christ, but his purpose in dying was for the church. Thankfully, that death covers anyone and everyone that will accept it and receive him. But he died specifically for his church. There is no universal church. There's no invisible church. It's a local assembly. That's what he died for. It was that important to him. Should it be that important to us? We have to be willing to stand against false doctrine, threats to this assembly, whether it come from a false apostle, someone that says they're sent of Christ, or from family that tries to stop us from serving the Lord. Even if it's a brother or sister in your own home that, you know, subtly they could knock everything that your family, your parents are trying to push and trying to teach you and the pastor's trying to teach you. And you're there at home and a brother or sister is just kind of like, why do you do that? How come you're doing that? And just attacking it. It was just maybe a little remark. Shut it down. Stand for the Lord. God commended them that they stood for the Lord. He'll commend you for it too. Amen. But you can't look at the here and now. When we look at the here and now, when we focus on the here and now, oh man, that's going to make it hard. And when you focus on the here and now, you'll fail.
you'll fail the Lord. But when you look at the then, it'll help you stand. It'll help you stand. See, we have to ask ourselves, have we left our first love? Is God my first love? God commended them for some things. We can't allow false doctrine to permeate our ranks, whether it's in our own mind, in our home, in our church, wherever it may be, we can't allow it. We can only have one response to those who don't follow after the doctrine of Christ, and it is for our protection, and God commends it. We're marking and avoiding them. Thou hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. You found them liars. Cast them out. They're not going to keep them there. Romans 16:17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I mention this verse a lot. Every one of you needs to memorize it. You need to know where it's at. Romans 16:17, mark and avoid them which teach contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. It's your protection. It's for your own good. Amen. Do any of you keep household cleaners in your house? Bleach. Is that poison? Will that kill you if you drink it? So do you mark it bleach, or do you put it in an orange juice bottle and put it in the fridge? I'm just curious. Now, maybe you don't like orange juice. Maybe it's apple juice you like. So do you put it in a bottle and mark it apple juice? Or what do you do with it? Do you mark it? Put it in a special cabinet and avoid it? You say, this dangerous item is so dangerous that I'm going to separate it from my food. I don't want it close to my food. I've got a little room, a little cabinet, a little pantry space where I put all these dangerous items like this, and I mark them so I know what they are. That way I don't accidentally, or my children don't accidentally digest them and die. Because they're dangerous. Problem is, we don't see false doctrine as dangerous. Because the man bringing it is so likable. The lady that told me, she's so sweet. Yeah. I mean, I like the spray bottles. They're nice. I like the ones where you can twist them and it'll put a stream. And then you twist it a couple more times and it's a mist. Those are nice bottles. But I don't drink out of them. That's ridiculous, Pastor. Is it? False doctrine will kill you just the same. False doctrine will kill this church. That's what he's warning them about. You better get back to your first love, or I'm going to take your candlestick from you. You're going to be dead. You'll be dead. And by the way, that did happen to the church of Ephesus. They eventually died because they didn't hold the sound doctrine. Every church is going to die. Either it'll just cease to be because there's just nobody there, or it could be a huge church running 5,000, but it's not one of the Lord's churches. The candlestick's been taken. Every church is going to die. Every single one. You say, well, how come we're here today? How can we know we're a true church? Because when those churches were right, they started churches. That's a pattern we see in the Bible. They started churches. That's why we're starting churches. Because one day, Liberty Baptist Church is going to die. But if we start other churches, they can keep it going. The churches we start can keep it going. That's what we need to do. That's God's plan. And that's why we're all independent, by the way, to protect us from apostasy that enters that church. It hopefully won't affect us. That's why it's like that. God designed it like that on purpose as a protection. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. But they have a form of godliness. They use the name Jesus Christ. How can they be wrong? God says, if they deny the power thereof, where does the power, where does our power come from? We better ask ourselves that. The charismatics think it's like just some, pow, you got it, boom. Man, let me zap some of you with my Benny Hinn jacket here. Did it work? Did you get it? None of you felt, oh, Brother Josh, it moved him a little bit. You see, I'm being a little sarcastic with that, a little facetious, but people believe that. People believe it.
It's not the power. Where does our power come from? I gotta have my Bible.
Amen.
I'll die without it.
Amen.
This is where our power comes from. They deny the power thereof. What do they deny? They deny the Word of God. They deny the Word of God. You know, that's what a Pharisee is. A Pharisee is someone that denies the Word of God. That's what a Pharisee is. Not someone that holds biblical standards,
right.
Biblical holiness. That is not a Pharisee.
Amen.
The Pharisee is the one that denies what the Bible says in order to keep whatever their opinion is. That's a Pharisee. We can't be ashamed to own the name of Christ. Look at there, Revelation 3, verse 3. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. They weren't ashamed of the name of Christ. They weren't ashamed to hold the name of Christ. We ought not be ashamed either to hold the name of Christ. We ought not be, let me take it a little farther, and we ought not be ashamed to hold the name Baptist either.
Amen.
That's the name enemies gave to us because of the doctrine that we hold. That's why we have the name Baptist. They labeled us with it. We said, we'll take that. Why? So you know what we are. They've taken a bunch of different names, and guess what? They all eventually get corrupted. In the Bible, they were the Church of Christ. The Baptists here in America used to be called the Churches of Christ. But guess what? False doctrine entered in. Thank you, Alexander Campbell. Corrupted all that, and we said, we're done with that name. We put that one off. They'd be the Church of Christ at, you know, the South Valley or whatever it is right here. The Church of Christ of the War Zone, however you want to put it. That's how it would be. That's a biblical name, but it's so corrupted we say, well, they're going to think that we believe in baptismal regeneration. We don't, so we're not going to hold to that name. There's nothing wrong with it. If a Baptist church wanted to name themselves a Church of Christ, go ahead. You're going to have to constantly explain to everyone, though. No, we're not the Church of Christ. The false teachers, you understand what I'm saying? See, they held the name of Christ. They weren't ashamed of His name. We ought not be ashamed to hold the name either.
Amen.
So, proudly say, I belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior. How come you don't do that? Well, my church teaches this. No, that's a foolish reason to do something. You may as well be a Catholic. Be a Mormon. My church teaches this. Who cares what your church teaches? I do this because the Bible says, because I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ. That's why I don't drink.
Amen.
That's why. Because I belong to Jesus. Christ's name ought to motivate us to labor and not faint. We have to keep our first love a priority so we continue with what's important to God. That's what we need to do. That's what's incumbent on us. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. You will no longer be a church. If you don't fix this, God's telling him, I'm going to take your candlestick from you. So remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. They fell. They fell. But guess what? Thank God. Thank God for this, that when you fall, when you fall, you can get back up. You can get back up. When you fall, you can get back up. And that's what God's telling them. You fell, just get up. Get up. I want to help you. Get up, God says. And we can do the same thing. It doesn't matter how hard you fall. I'm telling you right now. Now, there's some falls you take, and you may not be able to get back to the same position you were, but praise God, you can always serve God. You can still serve God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad, how wicked, how evil it is. If you've fallen, get back up. God will still use you. If you're not dead, God says you're still mine.
Amen.
I'm going to use you. I want you. Get up. Repent from whence thou art fallen. And he says, do the first works. Jesus sees the whole picture and won't pretend the imperfections aren't there. Matthew Henry said this, those that have much good in them may have something much amiss in them. And our Lord Jesus, as an impartial master and judge, takes notice of both. Man, thank God. He says, I'll commend the good, but watch out. You got this wrong too. And look what he does. He uses a sandwich method as you look at that. That's a good way to help maybe correct somebody. Tell them what they did good. Tell them what they did wrong. Tell them what they did good. That way you leave on a good note. That's what Jesus does right here. He uses a sandwich method. I mean, he says, you've done these good things. I know thy works, thy labor. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Get it right. But this thou hast, verse 6, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He tells them, good and bad, good. It's a good way to approach somebody when you have something you have to bring before them. that's unpleasant. And let me just tell you, anybody that's ever had to do that, you don't want to do that. Well, that person just mean. They just want to always looking for problems, always looking for what's wrong with people. No, the person that has to do it, I promise you right now, doesn't want to do it. Is dreading doing it and has probably been praying about it if they're a Christian for weeks. And saying, great, I'm going to have to do this. I hope they just fix it. Lord, let them fix it so I don't have to say anything. Let them get it right. I don't want to have to say anything. They don't want to do it. But that's a good method to go with. It will almost always do us good to remember where we started, because that's when our zeal is usually the strongest. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember it. And do the first works. So what are the first works? Let me just say, going with the gospel. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Go with the gospel. Baptizing disciples. Discipling them. Teaching them. Continuing to teach them. The fact that we love God will absolutely be displayed in our lives by whether or not we keep His commandments. It's that simple. John 14, 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Man, praise God for that. He will manifest himself to us if we follow him. If we're not willing to repent, we would risk losing our authority as a proper New Testament church. We have to be willing to fix problems in our own lives and as a church as they are shown to us. We have to. We can't ever not. We can not get right, think we're a church, lose our candlestick, but that won't be pleasing to the Lord. See, when God gives us a warning, whether it's as an individual or as a church, when God shows you some sin in your life, you know what He's doing? He's saying, I love you. I'm telling you right now, that's God's chastisement right there. That is God's chastisement. When God convicts you of something you are doing wrong, that is God saying, I love you, child. Will you fix this? I love you. I don't want to see you hurt yourself. Please fix this. It's up to us at that point to repent and do the first works. Remember from where we fell. When you're in the gutter, say, man, I used to be up there. Why am I here? That's the prodigal son. He's like, what in the world am I doing about to eat this pig slop? You ever seen pig slop? It's trash. That's exactly what it is. I used to work at a restaurant. I used to work at Garduño's. And man, I would see people throw some good food away. I'm like, they ordered the fajitas. And if you didn't go and eat, those things smell so good if you ever been there. I don't know how they are now. They seem like a ripoff to me now. But when I worked there like 20 years ago, they were really good. And it would smell so good. And they'd like throw the whole thing away. So you go, and I was the busser, and I'd like take it all, and there'd be a trash can right there where you put all the dishes. And you just basically scrape everything in that trash can. And I mean, it just looks nasty. I mean, it's just filled with just a bunch of different food. And it's just gets disgusting. If you've ever worked in a restaurant, you know what I'm talking about. It's just like, just completely, completely disgusting. And I don't even know where I was going with this. So let me try and figure out what I was doing. Prodigal son. That's right. Okay. Thank you. When it's not in the notes, I don't know what to do. All right. So, I mean, you see that food and it's just completely disgusting. And that's what he's looking at, but probably even worse than that, because it'd be old. I mean, they'll eat anything. It doesn't matter what it is. So you get that slop and it'd be just like that. And you pull that out and he's holding in his hands. He's like, remembering from where he fell. And he's saying, my Father's servants eat better than this. What am I doing here? And you know, when God gives you a reminder, when God shows you you're doing something wrong, he's trying to get to you before you end up in the gutter. Before you're holding the pig slop saying, what am I doing? I used to be there. And now look at this. God loves you. When he brings correction into your life, it's because he loves you. He wants to help you. So we need to remember from whence we are fallen and repent, or we will lose this candlestick. It's a precious thing. It's not ours. We don't just get it. This is God's church. It's not ours. We don't get to do it our way. We've got to do it his way. So will we go back and do the first works? Our first love. We've left our first love, so remember from where we've fallen. Get back to loving God like we should and do the first works. When we love him like we should, the works are going to be there. They will be there. If you love me, keep my commandments. As we read in John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And God says, I'll show you more. See, I wish God would show me something from the Bible. Good, then love him, obey him, do the first works. That's what God wants from us. Just follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.